Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
It's been way too long since I talked with Bill Herenda, NBA basketball, college hoop expert as well. Hey, how's it going?
Excellent, Dave. Great to be with you as always.
You have become the hottest NBA analyst in America, the most sought after in terms of being a radio podcast guest.
You know what, Dave? I hate to disagree with you right off the bat. I guess my answer to that would be that some people have my phone number, and when the phone rings, I answer it. That's the long and short of it.
I remember a couple of years ago, you weren't as highly sought after. Then you made an appearance on my show, and it seemed like at that point, things started to really take off for you. Would you agree that
that's right?
That maybe the turning point?
For sure. The watershed moment. That's right. Absolutely.
Hey, we're here to talk NBA playoffs, and we pretty much just had the game end, Miami and Boston game two, which totally stunned me with the Celtics just reigning in threes and jumping out to a 70-45 lead at the half. And Cruz, what were your thoughts going into game two, and how did that unfold?
So certainly for Boston, getting Marcus Smart and Al Horford back was a boon. And for Miami, without Kyle Lowry again, you're operating shorthanded, but you were successful in game one. And the Celtics now are 4-0 in the playoffs after a loss and an impressive 5-2 on the road. So I think both of these teams have mature players that have been through playoff wars before. And I think they both realize that, both squads, that one game is simply one game. So you have to temper your expectations and also have the mentality never too high, never too low, because we understand what can happen. And in game one, Dave, it was very ironic in that it was an absolute onslaught in the third quarter by the Heat. I'll spare you the details of the numbers, but of course, that was a plus 25, 39-14 quarter in which Jimmy Butler scored 17 points. Celtics down early, 9 of 11 from three in game one, in quarter one of game two, and they kind of coast to victory with the big three, Smart returning along with Tatum and Brown combining for 75 of their 127 points in a 25-point victory.
Smart in the first half was 2 for 11. If you took him out of the game, the Celtics shot about 75%, just raining in threes, I think 10 threes in the first quarter, and assisting on most of their baskets. They really share the ball and move it around. Really tough to guard.
Yes, exactly. And, Jeff Van Gundy was commenting on that in the broadcast that, yes, the Celtics were incendiary from three, but they were open. And Miami was not forcing them off the three-point line. Boston did not feel the heat. Pun intended. And so you've got a scenario here where, it was interesting. Against Milwaukee, Milwaukee allows the most three-point field goal attempts and makes in the league. That's kind of their strategy. In the bottom third in three-point field goal percentage against. So you know you're going to get the three against them. And the Celtics during the regular season, top 10 in both makes and attempts, middle of the road in three-point field goal percentage. So, again, if you listen to people like UB Brown, Gordy Chiesa, longtime Jazz assistant and NBA executive, not all the time, but frequently, the teams that win these playoff games are scoring through physicality, and they're scoring the most points in the fourth quarter below the free throw line extended. So you'll see me tweet about two-point field goal percentage a lot. But again, in a game like tonight's tilt, where it was pretty lopsided, some of those things kind of take a back seat because Chuck Daly said, shooting covers a multitude of sins. But again, when you're not feeling the opposition, it is kind of like open season, Dave, because guys can get to their spots. And they were doubling Tatum often. You saw Ryan McDonough tweeting about that, the former Suns GM. And the Celtics moved the ball effectively and got great looks and capitalized on them.
Stephen A. said that it looked apparent to him that Boston has more weapons, better defenders, that Jimmy Butler doesn't have enough help. Now, I know we're dealing with a small sample size when you're looking at maybe a long series, but anything you can make in terms of a generalization about the composition of these rosters as you head into game three?
Well, both of them are deep. And also, it's the Pat Riley expression that you're going to play seven, trust six, And, you know, let me back up on that. You're going to rotate seven. You're going to play six. You're going to trust five. That's the Pat Riley mantra. And ironically, in the first half, the Celtics played seven guys. And Derek White was not there. He just had the birth of his, I believe, his first child. So he was not with the team due to personal reasons. So you saw that play out. However, both of these teams are deep, athletic, oodles of two-way players. Now, to me, what's very interesting is how Bam Adebayo has kind of taken a step back. And to me, watching him, he looks very much like a recipient scorer. It's another Gordy Chiesa-ism, in that he's not really creating on his own. His back-to-the-basket moves are limited, and he's not getting the ball where he's initiating offense. And it seemed like when these teams met in the bubble 2 years ago, there was more of that. So that may be something that Eric Spoelstra is going to add as far as more wrinkles. Now, I think another big factor when you talk about the depth of these teams becomes, what's PJ Tucker's status for game three? He left with an injury. I think Spoelstra said postgame that he'll be good to go for game three. But I think that's something to keep an eye on. So, listen, both of these teams are talented, deep, playoff experience. But again, you know, you're playing Gabe Vincent now without Lowry, who's an NBA champion in Toronto and a guy that has a lot of savvy. So the injury is definitely making an impact. Duncan Robinson has not played, and he's lost minutes to Struce as well as Victor Oladipo as the season rolled on into the playoffs.
Check out the comments of the Celtics coach Ime Udoka after the win, specifically about their defense and how difficult they are to score.
Yeah, that's what we've done all year to some extent. One of the better switching teams, that we switched a lot, and having certain defenders back obviously helped that, aided that tonight. But, you know, we saw Hero get downhill a little bit too much, Butler as well last game, and wanted to have bodies in front of bodies. And what we showed them at halftime is good physicality, good pickup points, and good attention to detail on certain guys. Aggressive reds, aggressive switches, and, you know, they pretty much saw a body every time they came off and didn't get a lot of clean shots. So I'm happy with what we did tonight.
Jaylen Brown, Smart, Tatum, you know, long, athletic. So you can switch with those guys and not really give up a mismatch.
Yes, they can guard multiple positions. That's a great point, Dave. And even someone like Robert Williams III can guard someone, backcourt players specifically for that limited duration in a half-court set. And I think this is worthy of note. We've only had two NBA champions over the last 22 years outside of the top 10 in defensive rating. The Warriors were 11th in 17, and then it was the Lakers in 01. I believe they were 21st. So now you look at it, and ironically, the Celtics led the league in defensive rating, and the other three remaining teams also in the top 10. Miami 4th, Golden State 2nd, and Dallas 7th. So it's true. Offense sells tickets, defense wins championships, and you've got a, you know, very cohesive, connected unit. Excellent shell drill defense by the Celtics. And you're right, Dave, when you switch, you have less rotations to contend with and to maneuver around defensively. And they were terrific tonight, holding the Heat to 102 points.
Who did you pick going into this series?
You know, I liked Miami before the playoffs began to get to the finals, but I also picked the Suns to win it. I picked the Suns to win it last season, and I was wrong then and wrong now. So I think, you know, Miami with the home court advantage and their savvy, I'm going to stick with them in seven. But certainly, you know, you come out of a game tonight and you feel as though, wow, they're you know, in trouble. But again, you know, Eddie Johnson tweeted this out, a great former NBA player to host a show. It's very popular on Sirius XM NBA radio. And paraphrasing that, he said, you know, when are we going to kind of forget that you can't be in the moment in these games? You got to realize that every game takes on a personality all its own, and you got to not really get swept up with what happens in one game as far as what's going to happen throughout the series.
What about the series out west? Like you, I picked the Suns to win the championship, and I planned my whole day on Sunday. Hey, I'll be home at 5 o'clock because I'm going to watch game seven. I'm going to watch them beat Dallas at home. And you know, pretty much by halftime, I was flipping, you know, back to HBO. with what they did and Luka putting on a show. What was your thought going into game one with the Mavericks and Golden State? And obviously, what do you think moving forward?
Well, going into it, I thought that even though Dallas cruised the victory on Sunday, that there's this inevitable letdown. And I think sometimes we forget about the human element in the playoffs. And, you know, the travel and just the emotion of trying to win these 16 games and getting through a series. It's difficult to get to the Western Conference Finals. So I kind of expected Dallas to take a step back. I thought maybe it would be in game two. Maybe not so in game one. Maybe they'd be kind of still being fueled by the adrenaline of knocking the Suns out, last year's Western Conference representative in the finals. But I like the Warriors in the series, Dave, overall moving forward. Listen to this. They're 7-0 at home in the playoffs. They're 21-2 in game ones since 2015 are the Warriors. And this is an amazing stat. Again, courtesy of Gordy Chiesa. You should have him on the way I'm referencing him. But the Warriors have an NBA record 25 straight playoff series that they have won at least one road game. Now, that's tremendous when you think about it. Because, you know, having friends and family in the coaching business, you know, it's incredible to win on the road. I don't care if it's regular season or in the playoffs. So I just think the Warriors, with their experience, their ability to defend, I just like them to get past Dallas and to get to the finals.
Seven players in double figures the last game in the win over the Mavs, and that very difficult matchup with Luka trying to score on Wiggins. Since Luka brings the ball up and initiates the offense and kind of gets his own, if you're Dallas, how do you get him open? Because if you're Golden State and you want to take Steph Curry out, well, maybe you just move him off the ball and, you know, run him off of pin downs or whatever to create some action with him not having the ball in his hands.
Well, you know what, Dave? I tweeted out yesterday, Steve Clifford, who is now a Brooklyn Nets consultant, former coach of the Orlando Magic and the Charlotte Hornets before that. There's a great clip on him pregame last season going against Doncic. And there's no reason really for Jason Kidd. I like your idea of playing him a little bit more off the ball. And you'll see that, the Fran Fraschilla pilot, co-pilot type of deal. And you'll see that with the ball in Brunson's hands and get it out of Lucas' hands. But he is so devastating in the pick and roll action. Cliff talks about if there's no immediate resistance, if you're not up on the coverage, okay, it's over. Because he's getting downhill. If you blitz him, that's a conundrum because he's got great size. He's an excellent passer. And if the double team doesn't impact the ball handler with skill on the floor like Dallas has, guess what? They're going to get open looks. Can you force him right? The left side of the floor, he's so good at that step back, that sidestep three where he's made so many clutch shots in his career professionally, not only here but over in Europe before he got to the NBA. If he knows what you're doing defensively, it's over. So the basic thing that you try to do with him is to keep him out of rhythm. And last night, the Warriors did a terrific job with that. I mean, we were literally a couple of minutes into the game where Stan Van Gundy was talking about, we have seen them blitz him. We've seen the Warriors play zone. And we've also seen the Warriors play a box and one against him. So it was very successful because, reflecting on the clip of Steve Clifford talking about Doncic, I felt like, wow, Kerr and the staff and the Warriors on the floor really were successful. But again, it's only one game.
And he's only 23 years old, which is remarkable. I remember a couple of years ago, I sent, I think maybe a tweet or message to you. I said, this guy kind of reminds me of Larry Bird. But as time has gone on, he handles the ball so well. He's more than a Larry Bird. I mean, he's like a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird hybrid in terms of the skills that he brings to the table.
Yeah. He's incredible. I'm not really ready at this juncture to say that he's better than Larry Bird.
No, but just in terms of it reminds me of.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, he's reminiscent of Magic Johnson with his size and also the smile and the demeanor. You could just tell the joy that he plays the game with as well. And, yeah, he's just a special talent. And I think, you know, you hear Pat Riley talk about, hey, it's a make-or-miss league. And, you know, he was just 3 of 10 from 3. And he really had to work for those 20 points. only two of which came in the second half. He took 18 shots to get the 20 points. So for the Warriors, you'll definitely take that throughout the series. But there are times where, you know in this league you cannot stop the great players. You only try to contain them. And again, sometimes it's just a make or miss scenario, and it certainly was a rough night for Luka. And he felt the Warriors. I mean, not just by the scratch on the face from Wiggins, which he liked, he thinks it makes him look tough, which is a great response to that. But yeah, he's an incredibly special talent.
We'll break down the NBA draft as we get closer. We'll look at the needs of the players or the needs of the teams and the respective players. But one guy I want to mention to you, because we're West Coast guys, we've seen him play a lot, and I'm with the WCC in St. Mary's, and so I saw a lot of Chet Holmgren this year, projected as number two overall currently, somewhere in the top three. 7 feet tall, really skilled, really skinny, according to the critics. So what do you think about him in terms of how he projects to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's an interesting talent, very unique, just with his ability to handle the ball, to face the basket at that size with range, a good passer. And again, I'm not saying that he's a Giannis Antetokounmpo, but people will look at his frame and his body, and maybe that's an amber light right now. But look at draft pictures of Giannis when he was drafted. And look at Steph Curry, a completely different type of player. But look at Curry's body. That to me is something that he'll definitely grow and develop. And with strength and conditioning and just natural development, he'll be fine. But I think he's a very unique talent, and I'd be surprised if Orlando doesn't take him first.
People have judged us on our bodies and not looked at our talent and seen the big picture and making judgments on and you and me, based on that little perception of what we are physically. They don't know what's inside of us.
Oh, Dave, it's svelte and sinewy. That's the scouting report. That's the word on the street.
Hey, you're pretty good at this.
I'm not worried about that.
Billy, you're pretty good at this. Let's make this a regular thing throughout the playoffs, can we?
Sounds great, Dave. I'm in.
You're the best. Bill Herenda, everybody.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Bill's a great follow on Twitter at Bill Herenda, H-E-R-E-N-D-A. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Your positive comments, the 5-star reviews are huge. They really mean a lot. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.